Amen?
Oh, man, that was super. And what a glorious time. It's hard to transition from something like that. But we have some pretty exciting stuff going on, too. And we are in the middle of our week of prayer series. And as we've been walking through this, we've been talking about what do we want to see different in our lives in 2019. We're tired of being the same, Lord. We want to be different. We talked about a different faith. We talked about having different thought life. And we've been leveraging this quote. Here it is. God will often identify the very place we need to go in order to fix our eyes back on Him. Some of you have even said it was this church. This was the place you needed to get back to. You had kind of gotten out of the routine or whatever it was to fix our eyes back on Him. I'll tell you what, LU Praise did a great job of fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ this morning. And we can't thank them enough. They, in fact, are going to stand along the wall so they can see a highlight video of your week of prayer that many of you came out to and were a part of this. And so really in the last 15 minutes here, what I want to do is just kind of give you an update on what happened. I want to talk about the next room we're in because we've leveraged that quote to walk us through this series, right? So go ahead and put the series overview up. We've talked about our thoughts. That was the study. Following that little booklet, somebody came up to me. They actually had a booklet from one of the Billy Graham Crusades. And they said, look, this is the booklet. I mean, it had stains on it and everything, but it was my heart, Christ's home. And then in this story, the author welcomes Jesus to walk through his house. And the study represented his thought life. The dining room represented what he was consuming, his pursuits. The living room was his devotion and his time he spent with Jesus. The garage or the workroom is his stewardship and how he was using his time and talents. And he walked Jesus through all these rooms, and we find ourselves on the third room, and that's devotion. And here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to show you the devotion room. If you came out to the week of prayer, you know that we had each room set up. In fact, towards the tail end of this video, you're going to see the devotion room. And I want you to hear this part of the story of My Heart, Christ's Home, and we're going to use that to leverage just a couple verses. Because I want to share with us just in closing four things that if I'm not in the Word of God, I can't afford to live without that. I have to be in the Word of God because I'm going to sacrifice too much of a privilege if I'm not in it. And in order to be in it, I need to be devoted. Have you ever heard, I got to do my devotions? Devotions is far more than what we do. Devotions is who we are. The question is, are you devoted? And so the living room is about devotion, so take it away. Many of you know it's John Hodden, our new pastor. We call him the voice here behind scenes. And we're going to let him walk us through the living room of My Heart, Christ's Home. Go ahead and watch.
We walked next into the living room. This room was rather intimate and comfortable. I liked it. It had a fireplace, comfortable chairs, a sofa, and a quiet atmosphere. He also seemed pleased with it. He said, "This is indeed a delightful room. Let us come here often. It is secluded and quiet, and we can fellowship together." Well, naturally, as a young Christian, I was thrilled. I couldn't think of anything I would rather do than have a few minutes with Christ in intimate companionship. He promised, "I will be here early every morning. Meet me here, and we will start the day together." So morning after morning, I would come downstairs to the living room, and he would take a book of the Bible from the bookcase. He would open it, and then we would read together. He would tell me of its riches and unfold to me its truths. He would make my heart warm as he revealed his love and his grace he had toward me. These were wonderful hours together. In fact, we called the living room the withdrawing room. It was a period when we had our quiet time together. But little by little, under the pressure of many responsibilities, this time began to be shortened. Why? I don't know, but I thought I was just too busy to spend time with Christ. This was not intentional, you understand. It just happened that way. Finally, not only was the time shortened, but I began to miss a day now and then. It was examination time at the university. Then it was some other urgent emergency. I would miss it 2 days in a row, and often more. I remember one morning when I was in a hurry, rushing downstairs, eager to be on my way. As I passed the living room, the door was open. Looking in, I saw a fire in the fireplace, and Jesus was sitting there. Suddenly, in dismay, I thought to myself, "He was my guest. I invited him into my heart. He has come as Lord of my home, and yet here I am neglecting him." I turned and went in. With downcast glance, I said, "Blessed Master, forgive me. Have you been here all these mornings?" "Yes," he said. "I told you I would be here every morning to meet with you." Then I was even more ashamed. He had been faithful in spite of my unfaithfulness. I asked his forgiveness, and he readily forgave me, as he does when we are truly repentant. He said, "The trouble with you is this. You have been thinking of the quiet time, of the Bible study, and prayer time as a factor in your own spiritual progress. But you have forgotten that this hour means something to me also. Remember, I love you. I have redeemed you at great cost. I value your fellowship. Now," he said, "do not neglect this hour, if only for my sake. Whatever else may be your desire, remember, I want your fellowship. You know, the truth that Christ desires my companionship, that he loves me, wants me to be with him, wants to be with me and waits for me, has done more to transform my quiet time with God than any other single fact. Don't let Christ wait alone in the living room of your heart, but every day find some time when, with your Bible and in prayer, you may be together with him."
You know, the trouble with you is this. You thought the Bible study, the quiet time, was important for your spiritual growth, and it was. But you love what Jesus said in our short story? This hour means something to me too. How precious a thought that the Master of the universe, my Savior, Jesus Christ, wants to spend time with Chris. Put your name in there. Child of God, Jesus wants to spend time with you. Not necessarily because you can bring something to the table. The psalmist said, empty hands held high. I don't have anything in these hands to offer, therefore they're empty hands held high. But I do come to you, and that coming, that spending time says something about Jesus and what he means to us. Folks, devoted. Devotions is not something you do. Devotions is something you are. Let's be devoted in 2019. Let's say that's going to be different about me in 2019. I don't want to pass the chair. You know, I know some dear ladies in our church who have a prayer chair. It's their prayer chair. It's even their accountability partner. They say, they walk by it and they go, "Oh, I haven't been in the prayer chair today yet." And they get over and they get in their prayer chair. You could put it in a dorm room. You could put it in an apartment. You could put it in your house. But a reminder that I need to spend time with my Savior. I want to be devoted to him. Do you believe that's a biblical thought? Sure is. In fact, one of the most devoted people in all of Scripture is David.
In fact, the Lord said he was a man after my heart, far, far from perfect. In fact, David wouldn't qualify as a pastor today. But he was a man after God's own heart. Yes, he had affairs. Yes, he had decisions that he made that were focused solely on self-pride. But David loved God. And you know what? He loved his word. It's Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104, where David reminds us how much he loves God's word. Listen to this. Listen to David. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. How impactful is that? Well, let me change it. Oh, how I love the Philadelphia 76ers. It is my meditation all the day. In fact, I check my app every hour. Oh, how I love the Philadelphia Eagles. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how I love, fill in the guy's name, girls. Oh, how I love, fill in the girl's name, guys. David said, I love your law. And David didn't have your precious Philippians, okay? David didn't have your precious James, okay, or Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He had the law. He had basically scroll stuff, and he couldn't get enough of it. Why? Four reasons. Four reasons. And I look at these reasons as privileges that if I'm not in the Word of God each day, I sacrifice. In fact, we've been challenging our church. We've been having the morning, noon, and night challenge, right? We put this up. Our week of prayer challenge was morning, noon, and night. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out. And I told you, myself, I got the evening and morning down. That noontime, I need reminders. And Pastor Ben Fry, you know what? He couldn't remember, so he told the whole staff, you mind if I text us all a verse in the morning, at noon, and at night to keep us accountable? And the whole staff was like, yes, please. Yes, please. And so for the past 7 days, that was our commitment. We were going to pray morning, noon, and night for the future of First. And we've been getting those texts. Now, I got to be honest with you. Sometimes those come across at noon. I'm like, man, it's noon. Oh, my word, it's noon. But that's been a wonderful reminder for me to be in prayer. David wanted to be devoted. Here's the four things. Ready? They're going to go quick. David says in 119 that your word is a powerful advantage. Powerful advantage. Watch this. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. For they're ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. The psalm says, the word of God makes me wiser than my enemies. Have you ever watched the news and go, oh my word, the foolishness of this? Why do you think that? Because you've been enlightened by Scripture, and Scripture has showed you how foolish what you're watching is. Because you've been made wiser than your enemies. David says, I can't give up a powerful privilege. There were policemen in Haifa, a port city in Israel. They were chasing smugglers who were using a cart pulled by donkeys to smuggle things out. When they saw the policemen in pursuit, they abandoned the donkeys and got away. But knowing Scripture, you know what the policemen did? They starved the donkeys for 3 days and then let them go. Why? Because of the powerful advantage of Scripture. Isaiah 1:3 says, the donkey knows his master's crib. The donkeys led them straight to the smuggler's home. A silly illustration of a powerful truth. I heard of a story of a college student at Princeton University hearing his professor say there is no such thing as absolute truth. And the student said, are you sure about that? He said, I am positive. He said, how sure are you? I would quit this class. I am so convinced there's no absolute truth. He said, are you absolutely sure there's no absolute truth? It makes me wiser than my enemies. Here's the second one. It's my private education. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. It's one thing to be in a class in college and the professor says, I want you to read this textbook. It's another thing when the professor says, I wrote it. It's a whole other thing if he were to say, I wrote it for you. This is the way Psalmist looks at Scripture. My professor wrote it, and he wrote it just for me. I've got to read it. It's my private education. Here's a third. It's my perfect counsel. David said, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. In a time of barley bread and things like that, they didn't have no Hershey's chocolate rolling around. Honey was it. And he says, I got to compare Scripture to that because through your precepts I get my understanding. Therefore, I hate the false way. It's my perfect counsel. Before I came to church, I worked in a bank. At one point, I got to be a teller for a while. And you know what they did? They'd have you count the money, but they sometimes would slip counterfeit into your training. They wanted you to feel that a counterfeit bill felt different. It got around the area that there were people bringing in counterfeit money to the bank. And as we were counting it, we needed to know what it felt like because you're counting it fast. And I remember one teller counting the money, and she went, she's got the person in front of her. Why? Because she was so familiar with what a real bill felt like that the counterfeit became so obvious. It's like perfect counsel. And the counsel's so good that false things are so obvious to you when you see them. David said, if I'm not in the Word of God, I'm sacrificing that. I can't afford to not be devoted. I can't afford to live this life not devoted. Here's the fourth and final. It's my personal protection. You all got this memorized. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Right? A lamp gives us just enough light for the next step. A light shows us even his plan for us as we move forward in our life. It's my personal protection in a world that's setting up traps for me everywhere. At any moment, there's a billboard going, get off here. Click on this website. Go here, nobody will know. Hey, pursue this. This is where true life satisfaction is. There are billboards on every highway of every person's life. And it's that word of God that says, whoa, 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 whoa. You're driving with your lights off. In fact, turn on your high beams. I can't afford to not be in the word of God. Folks, the living room reminds us, if we want to be different, we got to do some ditto. That's our hashtag ditto, right? If you want a room to be different, you have to identify what you don't like about the room. You've got to demo what's in there that shouldn't be, and then you got to choose to overhaul it. I want to be devoted to Jesus in 2019, so I'm going to have to make some decisions. You know your leadership. I told you last week, and I know we have one service due to weather, but our leadership has been praying for 33 straight days. We're on day 12, okay? In fact, I copied our group text. You see our leaders? One of our deacons, Ken Etzel, he's putting it every up days. We're counting. We're on day 12. You can join us. 33 days till our next board meeting. And the challenge is to pray. And I put a little quote here for all our guys. Get on your knees and fight like a man. And so our challenge has been to pray every day for our church and its future on our knees. You know we're going through growth challenges. We've got chairs set up even today. We're on our knees saying, God, what do you want for this church? And it's been great to have that accountability. You can join us if you want. The Revivals board yelled at me for not including them, so they're included now. 33 days for our church. Every December, I say, Lord, what are we going to do for a week of prayer? We got to have our church praying. And we're willing to do whatever work it takes to get them praying. And we put together a walkthrough that we walk through My Heart, Christ, Home. And I just want to show you a three-minute highlight in closing today. Sit back and watch what it looked like this week. If you weren't able to join us, we are putting it together on DVD for people to be able to watch it or have it online, okay? Let's go ahead and see the closing.
missing. I don't want to see anymore. Give me a vision that you could move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror. And I don't want to trade your plan for something familiar. I can't waste a day. I can't stay the same. I wanna be different. I wanna be changed. Till all of me is gone. And all that remains is a fire so bright. The whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different in me. And I don't wanna spend my life stuck in a pattern. And I don't wanna gain this world but lose what matters. And so I'm giving up everything because I wanna be different. I wanna be changed till all of me is gone. And all that remains is a fire so
have chairs on stage. Okay, we have prayers from each room. So there are six of these, and these are your prayers that you put in here about each one. And then we have all your prayers that you gave us for the staff to pray, and we're going to be praying through these this week. And so be praying for your staff. We're going to work through all the prayers of the church. We're going to kind of see what's trending, the area that the Holy Spirit's kind of leading us to say, this is an area to sharpen at first. And this is how we'll kick off our year. But for all those who love a challenge, you want to be devoted this week, here's your challenge. Take it if you want. Read through Psalms this week. I'm going to call it the Psalms challenge. I can't read through Psalms. I bet you can. You'll read a few texts this week. I bet you could get through it. It's going to take you being devoted. It's going to take you saying, I'm going to do this. But maybe open a reading plan and read through the book of Psalms and read one of the most devoted people to God there is. Pray with us, church. We're on our 33-day challenge. We're going through our prayer requests. It's been a wonderful Sunday of highlights. Would you turn and say thank you one more time to our Liberty Singers? Make sure you say hi to them in between services. And text somebody and say, you better be here at the 11 o'clock. This is good stuff, all right? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, it was good to gather here today and to be challenged in worship. Lord, your name was lifted up in this place today. Lord, you know our church has been praying this week and we're going to continue praying. Lord, we want to be devoted to you in 2019 and it's going to have to take some changes in our life. The reality is, Lord, we check our news apps, our sports apps far more sometimes than we check our Word of God at. And Lord, this year we want to be different. We want to be filled up with that truth so we can spot what's counterfeit. We want to be filled up with that truth so we can have that advantage in life of knowing what you would want. We got to be devoted to you. And that's not something in our own strength we can do, for apart from you, we can do nothing. So Lord, draw us in. Let this be our prayer, because it's a powerful thought to know that you want to spend time with us too. Lord, may you be given all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. God bless.